Chapter 22, Numbers chapter 22. Been to the Grand Canyon and seen the donkeys that go up and down? So we went to the Grand Canyon, I don't know, 4 years ago, and I learned a shocking fact. I weighed too much to ride a donkey. They've got a weight limit. What was it? I forgot, 200 or something like that? And is that what it is? And at the time, well, I still weigh more than 200, but anyway. Those poor donkeys, if you look at what they do, same thing every day. The fellows that operate that donkey ride, they've got them all named and they've got their personalities down, and they'll tell you this one's friendly and this one will bite you, and you know. And those donkeys, every single day, I mean, we walked part of the trail that the donkeys take, and it kind of wore me out. And I can imagine, what would it be like to carry somebody, to bear the burden of a rider, not just on level ground, but down a steep trail and back up again? Well, that just might remind you a little bit of what we're going to see here in Numbers chapter 22. There is a man, and his name is Balaam. Balaam is known to be someone that prays and God answers his prayer. He's known to be one of God's people. Without getting into all the details about him, he was a Midianite, and of course, Numbers is that period of time between when Israel was in the wilderness, and it's the period of time before they came in Joshua and took the promised land. And so Israel's in the wilderness, and Balaam has been hired by a man named Balak, and what Balak wants Balaam to do is to curse Israel. Now, apparently, somehow, Balak knew that Balaam was eligible to do that, that he knew the God of heaven and that he was able to pray and have his prayers answered. And so, without giving you a whole story, because we're going to look at just a part of it, God said, don't go. And Balaam wanted to go anyway because Balak said, hey, if you'll do this, I'll give you a lot of money. It's a classic setup. The devil will do that to you. The devil will say, if you would just do what God doesn't want you to do, there'll be a great reward. Now, let me ask you this. Can the devil reward you? Yeah. Do you want his reward or God's reward? Who can reward you better? God. And by the way, that story goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, when Satan came to Eve, he said, ye shall not surely die. Why, the day ye eat thereof, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. This is a good thing to do. It's going to benefit you. The devil will come to you and say, if you would do that. No. Let me say it differently. The devil has come to you many times and said to you, if you will do that, it'll be worth the price. It'll be worth doing something that God says not to do. It'll be worth doing something wrong. It'll be worth sinning. It'll be worth walking away from God a little ways, because think of the reward you're going to get. And my mind races to that. You've seen that picture of they get the carrot and they put the carrot on a string and hang it from a stick and hold it out in front of the horse, and the horse is going for the carrot. Or a better illustration might be the dog tracks when they race the dogs. They got that fake rabbit. And those dogs think they're going to catch that rabbit. Those dogs never catch that rabbit. That horse never does get that carrot. Even if they did, if you get the thing God, that Satan offers you, instead of pleasing God, I guarantee you, you got robbed. God's the one that knows how to give you things that Satan can't even pretend to give you. He's got a bunch of junk to offer you. So Balaam is interested in this enough that he has, and I don't understand it exactly, but he's gone to the Lord a couple of times, and it almost, somehow or another, he got the impression or something happened where he thought it was going to be something he should do. And so he gets his donkey, and off he goes to meet with Balak and to curse Israel. And now, pick it up in Numbers 22:21. Numbers 22:21, I'm going to read down to verse 33, we'll have a word of prayer. Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood at a path of the vineyards, and a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" And Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now I would I kill thee." And the ass said unto Balaam, "Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do, so unto thee?" And he said, "Nay." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive." Father, thank you this evening that we can see some things in this passage that can teach us. It's fascinating to hear an animal talk, but that's not the point. The point is that there was someone that was serving, that was protecting, that was bearing a burden, and they were willing three times to be beaten so that they could try to protect and defend the one that was being borne by them. I pray tonight that you'd help each one here to understand that you place those kind of people in our life. You place people in our life that try to protect us, and they see things that we don't see. And I pray that we'd respond to them properly. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Balaam, the wayward Christian, the donkey, Balaam's ass, a servant that cared and that was willing to bear the burden faithfully, and when he saw that there was a danger, he tried to protect Balaam. There's a real clear picture here to me. And I know, and I will do this in a minute, I know you can apply this to a pastor, but you can apply it to a lot of people. You can apply it to your parents, for example. Wouldn't it be safe to say that parents can see things children can't see? Amen? And when they're little and they don't see anything, we see things and we try and protect them. And we try to raise them and teach them so that when they grow up, that they won't suffer. And that they won't be endangered or worse. Teachers are kind of like this. Teachers bear a great burden, and they see things that students don't see, and they try to teach them. And I don't know how many meetings I've had with unhappy parents, mostly in Maryland, very, very few here, praise the Lord. And parents would come in, and they're unhappy because the teacher was mean to their child. And the teacher corrected their child, and they'll tell me, "You know, this teacher just doesn't love children." Yeah, that's why they've been teaching for the last 20 years, because they don't love children. Come on. "Well, this teacher just doesn't know how to work with children." No, she's been doing this for 20 years. I kind of think she does know how to work with children. And it's the same exact thing you see here. So think of this in terms of pastors or parents or teachers. First of all, aren't you glad God puts people like that in your life? One of the most shocking things that I learned when I became a senior pastor, and that happened back in 2002 in Maryland, is all of a sudden, maybe for the first time in my life, there was no one to correct me. Didn't have a pastor in the church over me. I was a senior pastor. Didn't have, people wouldn't come to me. My wife, maybe, praise the Lord, would say, you know, you messed that one up. But by and large, when you made a mistake, people just wouldn't say anything. That's a luxury to have someone there to correct you. Amen? It's a luxury. It's something that you need. And so let's just look at this in terms of Balaam and this donkey. And I'm going to show you four things about this situation. First of all, there is the service. And the Bible says in verse 22, Balaam rose up in the morning, saddled his ass, went to the princess of Moab. And he's riding upon this donkey, this in verse 22. And it's just not the most exciting job to carry somebody around in the heat and in the throughout the day and to be tired and weary and to bear them and so on. But that was the task he was given. That's what God made him. God made him a donkey. If you have children, praise God, God made you a parent. If you are a teacher, I trust if in a Christian school you've been called to do that, and I believe if you didn't have that call, you wouldn't last very long. God made you a Christian school teacher. If you are a pastor, God made you a pastor. You don't make yourself a pastor. And so in each of those situations, it's a call to serve. And by the way, all of you have some kind of a call to serve. Amen? You may not be a parent, but many of you are. You may not be a teacher, but some of you are. You may not be a pastor, but a few of us are. But there's service that God has for you to do. And service inevitably means serving other people. Amen? But this donkey, he was just doing his job. It was not the most exciting job. It wasn't glamorous. It wasn't easy. He just did it day in and day out. And certainly a good thought would be this. Whatever service God has given you, be faithful. Don't stop. And don't do it because it's glamorous or because it's easy, because truthfully, if it's very worthwhile, it won't be either of those. But here's this servant donkey, and he obviously cares for the one he serves. And that's important, and we do, and as pastors we do especially. So there's the service that you see here. But then there's a word that pops up again and again. Like, look at verse 23, it says, the ass saw the angel, right there at the beginning of verse 23. And then in verse 25 it says, the ass saw the angel. And in verse 27 it says, the ass saw the angel. Three times that donkey saw something that Balaam didn't see. I'm going to be very precise here. I mentioned it already. Parents see things that their children don't see. Pastors see things that you don't see. Now, in particular, here, think about this. Ask yourself the question, what did the donkey see that Balaam didn't see? And the answer is, he saw the judgment of God. Now, let's just talk about salvation for a minute. Pastor stands up and he preaches a message about salvation. And Lord willing, every time we have a service where someone here is lost, I'm going to present the gospel. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need to know something. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And the Bible says all have sinned. And the Bible says at the end of the revelation that death and hell are cast into a lake of fire. The Bible says in Mark that the fire is not quenched, the worm dieth not, it's an eternal fire. In Luke 16, there's a man, he is in torments in the flame. And folks, he's still there 2,000 years later. It's real. It's just as bad as you can imagine and 1,000 times worse. Hell is real. And Jesus died and paid for your sins to keep you out of hell. But he will not force himself upon you. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Romans chapter 10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made to salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, if I stand up and preach that message and there's a lost person in the room, that's this situation right here. I see the judgment of God. I saw it in the Bible. I know it's real. It's plain as day. They don't see it. If you can ever get a person to see the judgment of God, they'll change. But you see, Balaam never saw it until after the three times he smote the donkey. He knew that Balaam knew something was going on, but he had no idea what it was. The donkey knew exactly what was going on. And when we warn folks, when we tell you, please turn from your way, don't go that direction, that's the wrong way, don't do that, don't be that, don't act that way, don't get into that situation, don't, or perhaps there's some do's that go along with that. It's not that we're just trying to make your life boring or miserable or difficult or anything else. We see things. We're trying to help. Paul said it this way. He says, knowing, therefore, he uses this word, the terror of the Lord, he said, we persuade men. Now, he wasn't talking about hell in that verse. He had just finished explaining that he knew he was going to stand before Christ and give an account for himself. And that everyone's going to do that. And he knew that there was a day coming when he was going to be judged by the Lord, not for salvation, not for heaven and hell, but for rewards or for loss. And to give an account to his Savior for his life. And he said, it's a terrible thing. It's terror, he called it. He said, because of that, I persuade men. Read the writings of Paul. It's not just how to be saved, is it? A lot more there than that. The pastor, the teacher, the parent, they see things. And then, so far, so good. There's the service. They care. They serve. They're faithful. There's the sight. We have the vision that comes from the Word of God, and we can see it very plainly. Now, if that's where it stopped, it really wouldn't make any difference, because it's one thing to see it. But the third step is they take a stand. That's when it starts to get sticky. The pastor says, no, you can't do that. The parent says, no, you can't do that. The teacher says, no, you can't do that. The parent says, do this. The teacher says, do this. The pastor says, do this. They take a stand. You see, the donkey, he didn't have to do what he did he? At the end of the story, the angel explains, he says, I'd have spared the donkey. I was going to kill you, Balaam, but I'd have spared the donkey. He wasn't doing anything wrong. But the donkey, three times, takes a stand. And I won't read it to you again, but he runs into the wall one time, and he turns off into the field one time, and he falls down and just right there in place one time, trying to change the direction of the one he is serving before the one he is serving is judged and, in this case, slain. Why would a pastor take a stand? Why would a teacher take a stand? Why would a parent take a stand? Because we care. You know, I had a job before I went into the ministry, programming computers. If I'd have stayed in that profession, I would have easily been making $100,000 a year right now. No question about it. Right before I went into the ministry, I was making $1 a minute. They were paying me $1 a minute. That's about $120,000 a year when you put the math to it. You know, I've never had a computer attack me. Never have been beaten by a computer. Never have had a computer slander me or start vicious rumors about me or organize a rebellion against me. Computers are really predictable. They just do what you tell them to do, unless it's Microsoft. Never mind, don't go there. But anyway, computers are pretty predictable. They just do what you tell them to do. People aren't that way. Why would someone take that role because God told him to? Why would someone be faithful in that role? Because they serve God. Why would someone take that stand? Because in serving God, they're trying to protect you. The man of God says, no, you can't do that. Yes, you need to do that. Here's what you need to look out for. In simple terms, the man of God says, please receive Christ as your Savior. Now, please walk with him. Now, please live a life for him and not for the world. Why? Trying to protect. Trying to deliver folks from that terror that Paul talked about. We're getting close to the end here. You got the service. You have the sight. You have the stand. But then, each time this donkey tried to protect Balaam, look what happened. In verse 23, it says, Balaam smote the ass. It says in verse 25, he smote her again. It says in verse 27, he smote the ass with a staff. That cannot be a pleasant experience, to be beaten with a stick. Then I'm interested in another statement that is made in verse 29. He said, Balaam's talking to the donkey now that the donkey begins to say something to him. And Balaam says, I wish I had a sword, I'd kill you. That's how angry he was with the donkey. Why was he angry? He was angry because he didn't see what the donkey saw. He was angry because he had a plan. His plan was to go see Balak and get rewarded and get some things that he shouldn't have been seeking. And the donkey sees that between Balaam and this reward that Balak has offered him, there's an angel with a sword who's going to smite him. You know what's interesting? Sad, grievous. When you decide to be like Balaam, ignore what you know is right, and do what you want to do, it's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you. Talk to some older folks. There's other people with vision besides the pastor, and ask them, what happens? What happened when you walked away from God? You ask me that question. Ask anybody here if they've done that, if they've ever gotten out of God's will. Ask them what happened. It's not a pretty sight. I don't know who said it first, but I'm sure my dad said it many times. You can learn things the easy way. You can learn things the hard way. Stories flood into my mind. People that I've sat down in front of and said, please don't do this. It's going to hurt. Please don't do this. It's going to hurt more than you understand. It's going to hurt bad. It's going to get to a place where you're going to regret the day you ever considered doing it. I'm thinking of story. A fellow pops into my mind. I won't tell the story, but he didn't listen. And guess what? He got hurt. So you got the stand, and then the smiting, the suffering. But let's look at the end of this, and we'll be done. In verse 31. Not verse 30, first of all. Look at verse 30. So I like this because I've never seen anything like it in the Bible. We have a talking animal. God opens the mouth of the donkey so that he can say something to Balaam. And did you notice something? Look what he says first. In verse 28, God opens the mouth of the ass. And she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And I would ask you that question if you've attacked a teacher, not physically, of course, but if you've slandered them, or if you've attacked a pastor or somewhere, you know, whatever. The word attack is a strong word. But if you've opposed them or rebelled or whatever, what did they do to you? Well, they made me do what I was supposed to do. Yeah, there was a reason for that. What did they do to you? They served you. They cared for you. They prayed for you. They were there for you. They would willingly have taken the suffering in your place if they could have. What did they do to you? And you smote them. The donkey says, what have I done to you that you've smitten me these three times? What did I do? Balaam still doesn't see. He says, you mocked me. You know, that's what's interesting is in the eyes of the disobedient Christian, the person trying to keep him on the right track is an enemy because they stand between them and what they want. But not really. The truth is the angel of God stands between them and what they want, doesn't he? They're standing between them and judgment, not between them and what they want. They're not going to get what they want anyway. But the donkey says, what have I done to you? He says, Balaam says, I mocked you. I'd kill you if I could. Now look at verse 30. He says, am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? In other words, have I ever done this before? Have I been a difficult servant? Have I done something to you repeatedly? Don't you see there's something going on here? Or don't you understand? This is not the way I normally do things, the donkey says, but there's a reason for it. That's one of the greatest lessons you can learn in life. People do things for a reason. People, the teacher does things for a reason. We're going to start school in 2 weeks. I'm not as good at this as some people, but When you begin the school year, it's important to maintain classroom control the first few days. Pretty tight classroom control. You can always loosen it up. It's real hard to tighten it up. There's things that we do. I had a friend that became the pastor of a church in Maine. And he hadn't been there a month. And he started changing everything. And I told him, I said, this is not a good idea. There's a reason that they're doing it the way they're doing it. Don't just change things until you understand. And you know what happened? They wound up getting rid of him because he didn't understand. I know another story. I could tell those stories all night as well, of a pastor that went into a church and just blew it wide apart, making changes before he understood what was going on. People do things for a reason. The pastor, the teacher, the parent, the reason they said no is for a reason. They're trying to help you. There's a reason for what they did. And that's part of their service. And so now in verse 31, now the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. Now he sees the truth. The sword drawn. And now what does he do? He falls flat on his face. He wouldn't listen to the donkey. He had to see it for himself. Now praise God, he wasn't slain. Would have been if it hadn't been for that donkey. Once he saw what the donkey saw, it changed his perspective completely. Once you see what the parent, the pastor, the teacher, the authority, the youth pastor, the godly person that's trying to help you, once you see what they see, then you realize they weren't being unreasonable at all. They were doing exactly what they needed to do to protect you. And so in verse 32, the angel of the Lord speaks to him and says, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? And then I've read it already to you. He says, your way is perverse. The ass saw me. He turned. Unless he had turned, surely now I had slain thee and saved her alive. He saved your life and you beat him for it. Be very careful how you respond to authority. Someone says, well, you can't always trust authority. You know, the trouble is, you're not the one that put the authority there. God is. And the Bible doesn't say obey authority if it seems trustworthy. The Bible just says obey authority. And I believe this with all my heart. You may not agree with what I just said, but I believe this. If you have a conviction to honor God by honoring the authority that God establishes, even if the authority is wrong, God will take care of you. On the other hand, if you decide you're going to question authority every time the opportunity comes along, you're just like Balaam. You begin to smite the authority because you don't see what they see. You just don't see it. And you'll smite the authority and smite them and smite them. And that's wrong. Don't beat the donkey. He's just trying to help. I'm going to go to Salt Lake City and on August the 5th, preach a funeral for a man. His name's Thomas Korkish. He was in the ministry for, I want to say, over 50 years. And I have seen people, not physically, but I have seen people beat him, falsely accuse him, think they knew something they didn't know, and attack him. I've seen people forsake him. I have seen him treated horribly. And he's just like this donkey. He saw clearly what God let him see, he acted upon it, and people that didn't see it didn't like the stand he took. You know what? I'm going to stand before God. You're going to stand before God. Whatever God let you see, you're accountable for that. And how you responded to it, whether you accepted it or rejected it or whatever, you're accountable for that. The same thing for me. What God let me see, he shows me some things maybe that you don't see, or he might show you some things. But anyway, I'm accountable for that. There's just no easy way to say it. If God shows that authority in your life, something you don't see, and you choose to beat them, you're in the wrong. And I'm not going to make it any simpler than that. Just plain out say it this way. Listen to what folks that have been placed over you have to say. A story keeps coming to my mind of How many times have you told your children, don't play in the road, right? Don't run across the road. Don't run in parking lots. That's my rule. I remember plain as day. I can see it. I can see the color of the vehicle. My daughter, Stephanie, she's about 3 or 4 years old. We're at church. We're heading for our car. And she takes off running. And literally, here's the scene. It was about from here to that door, and there was a building right here, and it was right there, and it was a bad design, but there was a driveway right past that building, and you couldn't see what was coming down that driveway until you got right to that door. And she's with us, and we're walking. Our car's over there a little ways, and I'm holding her hand, and she lets go, and she takes off running. And I'm not kidding you, about 3 or 4 feet before she got to the door, here comes a van. And she ran into the van instead of the van running into her. Could have killed her. That's probably the most scared I think I've ever been with our kids. My wife was there. To this day, it kind of makes me shiver a little bit. Why did I say, don't run in the parking lot? Don't take off. Pay attention to where you're going. Well, you just don't want your children to have any fun, Pastor. You want your children to be bored and have to walk all the time. No, I'm trying to keep them from getting killed. Amen? Folks are trying to help you. I'm telling you. And you got two choices. You can let them listen to them. You can let them help you. Or you can beat them. But God sees it either way. And it's sad that so many people aren't willing to listen. But we're trying to help. Amen? If you're the donkey, be faithful. People are going to beat you. Stick it out. If you're Balaam, quit going the wrong direction. He's trying to help you. So I'll stand and pray.